Just a couple of words about Shavuos first. Well, really, just a couple of words, and then we'll talk about Rosh Hashanah. So then we'll pick up with this, obviously, on I guess our next year, Shavuos at Sogadayim, right? So we'll pick up with the relationship between the Peacherim and Piatzmo, and also you should just start after we finish with that, and we'll have to revisit that, obviously. We'll speak about that a little bit more, but then just start going straight. Let's do some of the Psule Edos, just because we've done pieces between Lamed Amud Aleph and Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, so let's just go straight, fill in that Chaklavataria and the Tosas, some of the things that we've seen already to fill out a little more in the Rishonim. So just get your bearings, we'll start with Psule Edos and then speak a little bit more about some of the other issues that come up, Kavod and so on. But we'll try to go through that quickly through Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. But first, we just want to finish off preliminarily the issue of the Piacherim and Piatzmo. We can try to do that on some Dalit, and then I'll give you more specific Makoros. But just try to get through Lamed Aleph Amud Beis itself. We'll read the continuation of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis then as well. But I just want to make clear a couple of quick points before we move on to the topic of Rosh Hashanah. That is, so we were discussing yesterday the fact that there, according to Rabbi Meir, if we freeze frame Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi Meir suggests that there's a difference between, there are differences between Shavuos Edos Mipi Atzmo and Mipi Acherim. And they express itself in terms of the requirement of Beis Din. There are differences both in Shavuos Edos and in Shavuos HaPikadon. Let's leave the Shavuos HaPikadon part of it for the moment. Although that's important, let's just zero in on the Shavuos Edos part. So what we're trying to do is essentially two things. Number one, to assess the significance of that. What does it mean that there are discrepancies between the Piatzmo and the Piacherim, according to Meir, within Shavuos Edos and Shavuos HaPikadon? What does that imply? What is the significance of that? That's question number one. Question number two is, since we paskin like the Chachamim, so whatever the answer is to question number one, does that end up having resonating in any way or echoing in any way, lefi hachachamim that we passing? And that's really what we were trying to do. So the bigger question is the first question. Going back to the first question, is what are the implications of there being a Mipiacherim in something like Shavuos Edos? And the contrast, as we already noted, is the areas in Halakha of the Shavuos that don't have a Mipiacherim, which quite clearly, right, is Shavuos Bitui and Shav, those kind of Shavuos. That's explicit in the Mishnah on Chav Teson Beis. Alex, have it just for a second. Which we need to bring into the mix, right? We already started reading Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. We still have to finish with Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. But also we have to read the Mishnah and the Shaklavataria on Chavtes Amud Beis. So let's just do that quickly. We're just going to spend another few minutes on this. And we'll pick it up on Tzom Gedalia. Yeah.
Shavuos Bitui Nohegas Ba'anashim U'Vanashim Mekrovim V'Rachokim Mekshevim V'Ksulim B'fnei Bezim V'Shalo B'fnei Bezim P'yatzmo V'Chayavin Alzdo Namakos V'Al Shigasa Karbonola V'Yorid Shavuos Shav Nohegas Ba'anashim U'Vanashim B'Rachokim V'Krovim Mekshevim V'Ksulim B'fnei Bezim V'Shalo B'fnei Bezim P'yatzmo V'Chayavin Alzdo Namakos V'Al Shigasa Pater Achazo V'Achazo Hamushba Mipiachirim Chayav.
Yeah, the rest is lochalti yom loinachti. That we'll leave that for another time. Okay, so there are two things in the Mishnah. Number one is that the Mishnah makes perfectly the ratio of the Mishnah, the safe of the Mishnah, right, Alex? The ratio of the Mishnah seems to say clearly that that what?
Mipiatzmo.
That you always require mipiatzmo, and that there's no shavuos shav, shav and shavuos bitui mipiache. The problem, of course, is that the seifa, seems to contradict that. The Gemara itself weighs in on that. Go ahead. Amar Shmuel,
Kolo Naomi Nachar Shavuah Kemotzi Shavuah Mipiv Bifiv Dami. Tichsev Yamra Isha Amen Amen. Amar Papa Mishmei Derav Masnisin Raisa Nami Deka. Diktani Shavuos Edos Nohegas Vanashim Velo Benashim Baruchokim Velo Bekrovim Mekshem Velo Bepsulim Vein Nohegas Ela Beruyin Lahaid. Ubefnei bezdin, v'shelo befnei bezdin, v'pi atzmo, v'pi acherim.
No, sorry, So kashin adadi is a stira.
Kashin adadi. Elala, right? Because one of them seems to say that mipi achirim applies.
So the Gemara goes to Shvuas Eidos to prove this point that a ona amin achar shua is considered to be mipi atzmo. Go ahead.
Okay, so again, that's this whole Amud.
Here. So what you walk away from this Amud, yeah, again, there are two ways to read it, essentially. Alex, one way, the Gemara just, you know, provided another, again, we'll just use terminology that we're familiar with, kind of Gilui Milsa. The Gemara, you know, had a couple of close calls, you know, there was, you know, some breath holding, you know, to figure out, you know, there seems to be stiras in the Mishnah and so on. But Baruch Hashem, you know, it all turned out fine. And now we all know what it means. And, you know, Shalom al Yisra. By which I mean that you walk away from, there seems to be a stira in the Mishnah, there seems to be a stira later on in Shua Sa'edus. The answer is that, Kola one amen achar Shua kimotzi Shua mipiv. Right? And what seems to stira, namely, it's some mipi acherims that, you know, were treated like mipi atzmos, is because it is mipi atzmo. End of story. That's one way to read the Gemara. You know, it's a happy way to read the Gemara, you know, and or let's say it's an uncomplicated way to read the Gemara. And then going forward, we would never, ever, ever, ever expect to find that Ona Amein Achara Shvua is treated as anything other than a typical conventional Shvua Mipiat. Okay? Is there any other way to read the Gemara? With such a, you know, presentation? He's saying no. Any other way to read the Gemara?
You could say that even though ultimately we come to say that we clarified that it's talking about Mipiatzmo, but really even Mipiachirim sort of echoes, I guess, even if you say Amen, that has some sort of aspect of
Mipiachirim. Yeah. The other way to look at it is that it wasn't just, you know, a breath holding, you know, and frozen questions. But here it's not a frozen havam, you know, it's frozen questions. But that in the end of the day, why did the Mishnah, you know, use terminology that is misleading? And why, you know, again, in Perek Shvuas Eidos, again, do we have some, you know, scary, you know, moments or controversial moments? So it could be that we've resolved, the end of the day, you know, if for purposes of the Mishnah and of the Gemara of the Shav, the issues that we're talking about, Ha'one Amen Achar Shua Kemotzi Shua Mipiv, you know, sufficiently establishes a Mia Piacherim with Amen as under the legal or formal rubric of Mipiat. However, the reason that the Mishnah is written this way, and the reason that the Sugis and Shua Sa'edis are written that way, is because in reality, conceptually at least, a shvua mipi acherim with an amen, right, is on a certain level, it's a, you know, anesthetized, it's a cleaned up mipi acherim. It retains some status of mipi acherim. In which case, there is a shvua's bitu and a shvua's shav, a kind of a model of mipi acherim. Then you would wonder, you know, that's why I said those ever things, maybe there are some echoes, you know, some halachic nafkamina, even, you know, even the maskana, where a mipiacherim ba'amein, though it's largely mipiatzmo, right, isn't fully mipiatzmo. It's not a full-fledged hafla. Right. So that is something to think about very seriously. Yeah.
What's fascinating is that the Yerushalmi treats something differently. Many people in the Farshim here point out that it's actually called like Ba'al-Gavli and thinks there is mipiacherim.
In between and Shav.
And it says that Ani is Amin just like the Derech.
Right, neither might exactly. So again, it's not so clear, but it goes in that direction. It's a very good hara. Meaning, if you take this view, so there are two things. Meaning, this other reading of the Gemara, there are really two things to think about. One is the middle status itself, and where, if ever, you know, it would come up. The second thing is that once we acknowledge, right, that there is a form of mipiacherim, you know, that works in Shavuos Bitui, in Shavuos Shav, so you wonder, you know, how fundamentally, let's say, inconsistent mipiacherim really is to the world of Hafla and Shavuos Bitui, which is exactly where your Ha'ara, you know, comes into play. Meaning, is there any possibility that, you know, that this is defined as mipiacherim and it still works? It's a stronger mipiacherim. That's kind of what we're saying, right? So is it a weaker mipiatzmo? No, there are basically three possibilities, right? One is that, you know, the pashtus, ha'ona amanachar shvul kemotzi shvul mipiv, ditto, and it's a full hafla in every way, although that was mechudash, we might not have known it. Right? That's also interesting. But we overcame our initial ignorance or hesitation or reticence, and now we know it. Or, right, it's some sort of a in-between status. So it's basically, it's a mipiatzmo, it's a compromised tafla, albeit mipiatzmo. Right? Or it's a, you know, a sufficient tafla, although it's mipiacherim. Can you have a piacherim, right, that is a sufficient bitui in hafla? So those are two possibilities, even within the perspective that we're dealing with some kind of in-between status. And then what you're pointing out, it's not a din in the amein for the Yerushalmi, but the idea that there might be piacherims. So that becomes very relevant to us, because now getting back to our discussion of Meir and the Chachamim, right, so again, the Chachamim and Rav Meir, right? So the pashtus, Rav Meir is mechale, and the Chachamim, you know, thinks that all Shavuos Eidos is the same, all Shavuos Bichadon is the same. Again, you might have to analyze it separately in each case. But let's stick to Shavuos Eidos at the moment. So when we say all Shavuos Eidos is the same according to the Chachamim, what we're saying is mide mipiatzmo nishma, that even a piacherim can be a form of bitui and hafla, right? Like, how could you ever think of saying such a thing? Well, the Mishnah, you know, does say, albeit in the case of Amen, right, that mi piacherim can even work in bitui and shav. True, here we don't even need Amen, but maybe that's an adjustment, right? So what we just, you know, spoke about, if indeed the Amen is something that, you know, is makshir, you know, the mipiacherim ends up being helpful to us, even in understanding of chachamim and mipiacherim. That would be, right, the opposite, or that would be the answer, maybe, of some rishonim to the Rajba. Right, because let's remember what the Rajba said. Right, the Rajba says, the Gemara Bava Kama and the Mishnah Sanhedrin, when they quote the pasuk of Korban Shua Sa'edos, we're not accepting, right, the mechudash parshanut of the Balei Tosfos. By the way, Agav comment. Okay. It's so interesting and inspiring that, you know, once, like, you follow through and you understand how, like, the Balei Tosfos came up with this, you know, Parshanut, right? And the Shiltos came up with his Parshanut. It's just so interesting from a Masora point of view to see how this spurred you know, Mefarshim later on, you know, over the centuries, to reinforce these positions from a diktuk, you know, or from a, parallel phenomenon perspective. Like if you look at the Netziv, right, Hamikdavar, and if you look at the Torah Tamim, these are examples. Torah Tamiman, I think the Meshech Chachma in one of his pieces, in Vayikra Perakei, also has this. And I have no doubt that many other Mefarshim have it. I just didn't recently check. Like the Malbim is particularly good at this kind of a thing. He has a genius for it. How they, went back, looked at the Psukim again under a magnifying glass, and found that there are, superfluities, anomalies, syntactical, anomalies, which reinforce, the Shiltos and the Balitosis's, conclusion. So that's just an agav point, but and that's a great, example of how, you do a reconstruction because of the global evidence, you come to a certain very strong conclusion conviction, and then that opens your eyes to certain other things that reinforce that. That's a certain process. But anyways, the point is that the Rajba didn't like the Balitosis. He rejected it with all of that. Or at least, if he accepted it, he didn't think it was Pashut. So the Gemara, at least, in other words, it sounds like the Rajba is of two views. Either the Parshanut of Tosis is correct, but you need more than that for the reading of the Gemara, or it's just not correct, and that's fine, too. But at the end of the day, the point of the Rajba is that the Pasuk doesn't say anything about Chiyuv Agada, but Shvuas Ha'edus Mipi Acherim says something about Chiyuv Agada, and he makes it perfectly clear what that is. Namely, it's lacking in Shvuas Bitui, it's lacking from a Haflah point of view, and yet you're Chayiv. And how could that be? The answer is, that demonstrates unequivocally, right, that there is something propping all of this up, a different mechayev, namely the Chovas Haggad. So what are you going to say for those Rishonim who disagree with the Rajba? Right? What are they going to say? There are really two questions to ask. One is, and some of you made this Ha'ari yesterday, and now according to the Rajba, when you look at all of this, so that means that there are two mechayevim, two different dinim. Or are you going to say, for the Rajba, the question will be, it's pretty clear that mipi acherim, right, the mechayev is the hefsed mamon, the kvishas edus, al yedei tziruf, we'll call it, l'shvua, right? But it's not his hafla. Now, what are you going to say for the Rajba about mipi atzma? Right? Are you going to say for the Rajba? Now, again, one could have said, the whole idea of the Rajba, I mentioned this a few times, about the whole institution of korban shvuas edus. Right? You might say, inochanami, mi piatzmo, there's enough bitui and hafla, but maybe that's not enough to carry the hybrid, given the consequences. So the institution of korban shvuas edus, even the chalos of integrating, right, bitui with kvishas edus, the hefsed wouldn't exist if kvishas edus vehefsed wasn't a standalone chiv. Right? You could have said that. Right, what the Rajba says is, mipi atzma wouldn't have been a proof. Mipi acherim is the proof. So now the question in the Rajba is, and limaskana, right? What do you say about mipi atzma? Mipi atzma is a different mechayev, and there really are two different, we don't paskin like the chachamim, and even mipi atzma as a different mechayev has to be bebezdin because of the kvisha sefas part, but still, right, in the end of the day, mipi atzmo and mipi acherim, work differently, even according to the Chachamim. Or no, will you say that we paskin like the Chachamim, it doesn't have to be totally in the Chachamim, but it's a nice way to formulate it, and therefore mipi atzmo and mipi acherim are largely the same, and therefore mipi acherim nishma, that even mipi atzmo is a mechayev of hefsed mamon. That remains open in the Rajba. That remains something that is open. On the other hand, you could have argued with the Rajba, not only by saying the whole institution, not just in Piacher molds that way, you could have said the whole assumption is wrong to begin with. How would you say that? I mean, the Rajba's wrong when he says that Mipiacherim can't carry the Hafla load sufficiently right? You know, to avoid the conclusion of an implicit chiyuv agada. Meaning, shuos acherim is also a hafla and a bitui. Aye, but it doesn't really work in hafla and bitui, or maybe it does. Or maybe it does al yidei anias amen, at least. But that isn't a pure mipiatzmo, that's a form of mipiacherim. So how would you explain, let's say, why in Shuas Ha'edus, we're certainly, whatever you want to say about Bitui and Shah, right? Clearly, the Mishnah and the Gemara distinguish. Again, whether it's an absolute distinction, there's no such category at all as Mipi Acherim. And even, you know, Ani Asamen is a total classical, you know, equal Mipi Atzma. Or you want to say the distinction is much more subtle, right? There are, you know, Ani Asamein, there are other, maybe Piacher and Bitui, but at the end of the day, there are still differences. So how would you explain that? If indeed we want to take the view rejecting the Rajba from that direction, in other words, saying that the Piacherim also is Bitui. So what you'd probably have to say is that what you have here is a kind of compensation, not to Dinim and not different Mechaivim, right, but you know, propping up or compensation, you know, that allows for an expansion of other things. In other words, what the Rajba is not saying, which is that if there is a Chiyuv Agada, or if there is a Hefzid Mamon, and if that Hefzid Mamon, right, is taking place in a Kim Chigit Shuvah Chozer Magid way, you know, it's in an absolute way, so that also expands the Hagdara of Hafla. In other words, hafla is not something, and bitui is not something which, as the Rajba would say, either is attained or not attained in terms of its threshold standard, you know, objectively. But sometimes, you know, tziruf and other things can play a role in the hagdara of hafla. In other words, normally, if there was no connection between, let's say, the nishba and the mashbia, so then the Mashbiyah's words would just be those, it would just be a Heichetimtzi, it wouldn't be anything else. And they would be irrelevant. And therefore, if you're lacking, you know, the objective conditions of the Hafla and a Bitui, then you are. But in a situation where, you know, the Mashbiyah's words are not just a Heichetimtzi, that he has some sort of a right, let's say, to demand, you know, a response from the Nishba. So maybe that also is mitzaref. That's almost like an amen, right? I don't mean literally. I'm not saying it's on the same level, but it's a kind of an amen. It's a mitzaref of his words to you. Just like, you know, mashal amad avadome, you know, here you talk about shomea ka'ona, right? And you know, so one way to look at Shomea Kona, as we know, major debate among the Rishonim, is again then the you know the Mashmia, we'll call it, is a Hechatimtza for the Shomea being Kona, right? And the other way to look at it, but he's not in any way according to that perspective, because he's using his words. The words are out there, and he's able to associate himself with them. And the chiddush is that that's enough, or where it works, at least, it's enough, and so on. Or no, it's basically being yotze through the mashmiya. Right. Similarly, we want to figure out, is mipi acherim basically an acknowledged, for the Rajba, non-hafla, right? But the tziruf, you know, to his hafla, is still enough. But then the heavy lifting has to be done by the Chovas HaGadah, by the Hefzid Mamon, and so on. Or, the fact that there is some sort of Chiyuv Bidei Shamayim, you know, something here, Chovas HaGadah would help, I don't know if it needs to be implicit, you know, Ad Kedei Kach, but certainly a connection between the parties. Right? What that does is it's mitzaref, you know, the bitui or the hafla of the mashbia so that we can compensate with less, you know, than we would have required if he was doing the hafla all by himself. That could be the pshat in an amen that is somewhere in between, either a lesser mipiatzmo or a souped up mipiacherim, especially if it's souped up mipiacherim. And even without amen, that could be what's going on in Shavuos Ha'edus, in which case everything is the hafla, but you need the tzim. So basically, we could end up with three shitos in Shavuos Ha'edus, or more, right? We could be mechalek between mipiatzmo and mipiacherim, goof on this question of the hybrid. We could say that mida mipiatzmo nishmala mipiacherim, or we could say mida mipiacherim nishmala mipiatzmo. And that will be very important. So this sugya here on Chof Teslan Beis is very, very important. And then any actual lahalacha discrepancies are going to be important. So regarding the sugya here on Chof Teslan Beis, we still need to do more work on amein itself. So for example, again, Shmuel's comment, kol ona amein achar shua kemotzi shmua mipiv dami, you know, so again, if you take it as a ditto, and as a pure, absolute mipiatzmo, right? So that's one thing. If we think that it's some sort of a tziruf, you know, and a compromise of piatzmo or a souped up mipiacherim, so in the end of the day, it's kim motzi shvua mipiv, but it's still different than motzi shvua mipiv. Obviously, the more mipiacherim it is, the more you're going to say that it may not even be literally kamoti shumi piv. It's a tziruf lebitui or lahafla. Now, you still might need the tziruf of amen rather than the tziruf of saying, yeah, that too. Maybe amen is a stronger tziruf. So, for example, what is the halacha? We'll say two things. What is the halacha regarding somebody who's mufka, right, from this shavua? Or a particular chiyu, akum, katan, or non bar chiyu. Do you still say kol ona amen achar shua kemotzi shua mipiv? Do you? Anybody know? Do you?
The Rambam quoted
it. Yeah, the Rambam says what? Afilu katan akum. Does the Gemara say it?
No.
Certainly not. Not so obvious, but it works much better if it's a real ditto. Doesn't prove it's a real, pure mipiatzmo, right? But put it this way. If the more you think that it's limited, the more possible, at least it is, that the mashbia is important, right? And that you need to be able to identify with him in this particular context. What about Hilchos Brachos? If you hear a bracha from an akum or a katan, and you say amen. And you don't say or not. Isn't the yeshiva learning after the... Oh, no. She was learning sukkah. Oh. Keep forgetting. I keep thinking we're back to chulin, right? Yeah?
I think the one who says the breath has to be in five himself.
Who holds... Even the Rambam holds that way. Correct?
I'm not sure about the
second question. No, you're 100% correct. It sounds that way in the Gemaras. And that is the psak of the Rambam. So, one second. Where is that Rambam? Anybody know?
Tarek et Aleph.
I think so, yeah. What is it? Aleph? Aleph Yud Aleph? Is that it? Yeah? Go ahead. You have it?
I don't have it.
Anybody? Yeah.
Kol shomei bracha min brachos b'tchivasa v'ad sofa v'eskavim motzis to yibei chovaso yatsa rachal pisha lo ona amein v'kol ha'ona amein achar v'arei perezek v'arei v'hu shi'i ha'am v'arei chayiv v'osa bracha.
Go ahead.
I am very high in the very sofrim. I own a high in the Torah, but you also have a chobaso. I say, Yane, oh, I'll say, Shmam, and me, she will high of them in the Torah.
Right, so not only do you need to be Mechuyev, meet the Mechuyev on the same level. That's what the Rambam says in Uchaz Brachos is relating, even though it says Kimavarech, right? Like here he says Kimotzi Shumipi, but it's different. Apparently in Hafla and Bitui, Amen can be ditto. And in Uchaz Brachos, right, the Cheftza, Is the difference that there that an Akram and a Katan can have a Chetza Shol Shvua, just that they don't have the dinim of Shvua, but they have a Chetza Shol Shvua, and therefore it's out there and you can say ditto, but a Bracha is no Chalos or Chetza unless you have Kedushas Yisrael or Bar Chiyuva, or the same level of Bar Chiyuva? Or is the difference not the independence or the association of the Chetza, but you know, a higher threshold for that, but whether the amen, right, is a ditto, and what it requires to be a hafla, as opposed to what it really means to be a mevarech, as opposed to being yotze through someone else's bracha. Right? Very interesting. What about nichus nedarim, anybody? Nichus nedarim, what's it in? Is that there? Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. I think I gave it specifically, but it's always good to look up all around. In Hafla, Beis Aleph.
Yeah.
David, Yada? What? Well, yeah. What guy? Yeah, Beis
Aleph.
So the Ram says it's Kabbalas Dvarim. Okay. So the Radvaz Alatar says, oh, look in Hilchos Shvuos. Right? It's the same issue. However, not so pashut. What does the Rambam say? I mean, what does the Gemara say about Amen? We talked about it last year, but I don't know if I mentioned it already this year. The Gemara in Lamed Vav Mal, did we mention it already? We definitely mentioned it last year. Why would we mention it last year? Yeah?
You, I'm not.
The Rashi. Exactly. So so that goes on the Gemara here, Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, which we'll get to when we get to. We'll talk more about it. Rab Chanina, Omar, Rab Yosi, Rab Chanina. Amen bo Shvua, bo Kabbalas Dvarim, bo Hamanas Dvarim. Bo Shvua, Dechsiv, Omar Isha, Amen, Amen. Bo Kabbalas Dvarim, Dechsiv, Ora Shalayakim, Estivriat Torah Hazos, Lasos Osam. Omar Kalaam, Amen. Bo Hamanas Dvarim, Dechsiv, Ayomar Yirmi Hanavi, Amen. Kenya Sa Hashem, Yakem Hashem, Estvarech. Hey, beautiful Gemara. According to this Gemara, Amen can serve through, can have three different meanings. Right? Shvua, Kabbalas Dvarim, Hamanas Dvarim. Hamanas Dvarim is like, you know, Amen. Like, you know, you go to, you know, Amen, meaning it's an affirmation. Kabbalas Dvarim is, Rashi says, Kabbalah conditions of, is a commitment. When you say Amen, that's an affirmation, but it's not a commitment, right? You're saying, me too, I identify, right? But when you say Kabbalas Dvarim, it's a commitment, right? What is Shavua? Shavua, Amra the Sota says Amen, Amen, is an actual Shavua. So it's fascinating is that in Hilchos Nedarim, what does the Rambam say again? David, what was the language? Ah, you closed it too soon.
Yeah.
He said Bo Kabbalah, he said Kabbalah's Dvarim, right? Yeah, and the Radvaz there.
He said, "See what Hilchos Shvua Ba'ayim Mashen Katav Nisham,"
which is Kemotzi Shvua Mipiv, right? Afilu Me'akum Afilu Mikatan. But I'm just pointing out that in light of the Gemara, the word Kabbalas Dvarim is not the same as Shvua. So, is it possible that in the Darim, it's not a ditto? Why would there be a difference between Shavuos and Nedarim when it comes to the role of Amen? Yeah?
Isn't it possible that the Rambam is saying that if you say Amen, it acts as a ditto, or if you say a double shift, which acts as Kabbalah?
Well, I'm just saying, wouldn't that be a little strange? I'm not sure if it reads that way, number one, but would you want to read it that way in light of the Gemara and Lamed Vav Min Aleph, which has Amen as serving either Amanasar and Kabbalah Stvarim or Shua?
You're saying you could read the Rambam also, as you're saying that there's like there's
so how would you read it again? What's the headline?
You're saying that
read the words.
That all you need is to say Amen, or you need something that's Shinyanu Kinyanamein Shirukabal Tar.
Oh, you mean there's either a main which is ditto,
or you say something else, which is
or something else, or if not, you can have a nadarim. You don't need a main which is ditto. You can have a Kabbalah star. Okay, I hear that. I don't think that's. I think you could read it that way. I don't think that's the pashtus of reading it that way. Why in a neder can you get away with Kabbalah star, or why, according to my reading? Is the amen of a neder more a Kabbalah's dvarim than a shvua, than the equivalent of ditto? Did you want to address that?
I have a question.
What's your question? Maybe there's some way we can parlay your question.
Kind of building off of that one actually a little bit. Can you read Hilchos Brachos also saying that when you say amen, Mubarak doesn't see the barfiu? Because he says that.
You know, because he mentions also if you don't say amen?
Well, he says, yeah, because you're okay if you don't say amen. And he says, it's key mevarit. And then he says, if the mevarit was just scribing the reso for him, you're not yotze unless you're achi yamene or achi yomar pish, or achi yomar pish shahu chayet. So what's achi yamene? Isn't that pashtus achi yamene only?
I don't think so. I think just like the word shomea keona, the ona, we'll put it this way: shomea kaona means to the ona means to really articulate it.
So why don't you just actually
start? Why don't you say shomea kemavarech?
The point is just that you're not yotze if you hear.
And it's like you could ask that question in shomea kaona too. All I'm saying is it doesn't. Do you think it's credible? I hear what you're saying. In navigating the words of the Rambam, I think you could say what you're saying. Do you really consider that it's possible, this is, you know, what you have to think about, that the Rambam will hold that in a bracha, if you hear it from an Akum and a Katan, that that's fine?
Well, I mean, there are some apps supposed to be Shama that says that, right?
Yeah, I'm saying, do you think that Rambam would leave that so confusing? I mean, there are those who think, well, let's just get wide on the point for a minute, and then we're going to switch to the other topic in a minute. Not everybody has to hold like the Rambam that in the Shvua, Akum and Katan works 100%. Right? There's no Gemara. Not everybody has to agree with the Rambam and Hilchos Brachos that if you say Amen, right, to an Akum and a Katan, that it doesn't work. The question is, if you are writing the Rambam, this is the question. I agree with that. What's Koveya this issue one way or another? I've said two possibilities. Number one, is there even a cheftza, you know, that is produced such that you could say ditto to it, both with regard to a bracha and a shvua? And I think I'm not sure, you know, if I had no evidence one way or another, whether I would assume that they were the same or which one I would assume would be more or less. I'm mostly reconstructing, although I understand the distinctions in different ways. Or more likely, or equally likely, maybe it's a better word to say it, is the question whether the amen, you know, is working as a ditto or as some sort of a tzira.
Right,
I'm just saying, if you were the Rambam and you're writing a conceptual work, but also a code, right? Do you think that, you know, that halacha and Hilchos Brachos is clear enough that, or sufficiently clear, that when you say Amen after a Katan and an Akum, you would be Yotze, or does it sound like I know you could read it that way. That's what I'm putting. That's what I'm
asking. That would be consistent if we read like the Rambam and Dharma.
If you assume... Oh, I see. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's the primary reading either. I mean, in both cases, he's really, really parsing his words and wants you to come. Except that in the case of the Dharma, there's not necessarily enough Gemina. You know, whether you do it by Amen or you do it by Kabbalah's Dharim. And here, that's a difference. There is, namely Akum or Katan. If you can walk away from that Rambam thinking that it's possible that he thinks that you make a bracha on Akum and a Katan after a bracha, you say Amen after a bracha of an Akum or a Katan and you're Yotze, then you can definitely read it the way you want. I find it.
It's hard. Very silly. I mean, the Rambam is comparing in brachos.
No, the Rambam's all saying that the level of Bar Chiyuva that you need, this is, as you know, is a major debate among the Rishonim. It comes out from two sugyas in Brachos, Daf Chaf and Daf Mem Ches, right? Where the Gemara and the Rishonim debate whether or not a mechuyav midrabanan, it's also considered a mechuyav bedavar with regard to these issues. Either eating shiurim drabanan, or that's a sugyan memcheh, or a katan, or a katan bishum chinuk. That's where you have all the discussions of the Rishonim, Rashi and Tosis and the Rambam and so on and so forth. So all the Rambam is really saying is, not only do I require that there be a bar chiyuva, I require that the chiyuvim be on the same plane. That's all. Why is that so? Anyways, what is the difference between... Yeah?
Well, so just, I think that's the way I was saying is how the Kesef Mishnah reads it around. It says that he quotes by the first...
In Adarim? Kesef Mishnah reads it the way you're reading it? Right. Well, that's what I was saying about the Radvaz. Same thing.
Yeah.
Meaning, according to the Radvaz, who's saying... And the Kesef Mishnah, who are saying that this is exactly the same as Hilchos Shavuos, and you have to read it kind of the way you're reading it. I'm just saying, I wouldn't have read the Rambam that way if it wasn't for the other Rambam, and therefore I'm wondering, based on the language of the Gemara, and so on, whether, Shavua is more Hafla based because, let me just say it this way, because in the case of Shavua, it's a Chovas HaGavra, right, and that's one thing. A Neder, is a hafla, but a neder is more about conferring a status, right, than it is making a promise. Right? It's about attaching a certain status or stature, let me say it this way. There's a big, most of the evidence is, this is the third parak Shavuos topic. I hope we'll be able to do some third parak Shavuos issues. Most of the evidence is, the beginning of the third parak of Shavuos, and in some of the cases, Dar, that Hatfasa, the language of Hatfasa, applies to Nadarim and not to Shvua. If you say Zukazoo or Zekazeh, whatever it is, that's called Hatfasa. Right? You're grabbing on to the, say this should be like that. That works in Nadarim. Now, there are some Rishonim or some Makoros that seem to say Hatfasa works in Shvua too. Anyway, the Ran and other Rishonim, everybody gets involved. If it's true that Hatfasa works in Nadarim and not in Shavuos, whoa, I should stop a minute. Why should that be? Like, why should that be? So some say, because Nadarim is an Isra Chafetza, and Shavuos is an Isra Gabra, you can be Matfis in a Chafetza, you can't be Matfis in a Chovas Agav. So if you say, I'm like him, what do you mean you're like him? He made a personal commitment. Nothing to do with him, it doesn't inhere in him. But if you say, this object is like that object, that's the Chiddush of Nadarim. That you really, like it's this, halachic world of Nadarim, and may not be able to see it, but the halachic reality is that from your personal world perspective, this object is now, a chefta shel neder. So that's why there's hatfasa b'nadarim, according to most of the evidence, there's hatfasa b'nadarim and not hatfasa b'shvul. But another way to look at it is not just the difference between gavra and chefta, it's also, I'm going to say this. What I'm saying is also connected to the difference between Gavra and Chafetza, but it isn't just limited, right, to that particular result. What I'm saying is the reason that Nadarim is Nitan Bahatfasa and is Bechafetza is because it's about conferring a status. It's about defining something in a certain way. And especially, frankly, this is a little bit of an irony. What's more heavy lifting? What takes more heavy lifting? Creating a neder or creating a shvua? I would think that creating a neder, because you're creating something that adheres in the chafetza as opposed to a shvua, which is just an iser gavra, just a commitment, right? And I think in some respect and in some issues of nedarim and shvuas, that is true. However, from another point of view, right, what you might think is that the opposite is true. If we take this kind of, Yerushalmi kind of, view of, Lashem Ha'aretz Umloa, and the idea that Konem and Nadarim, is like, reverting back to before the Rabbanu Shalom gave us, the Matir to be Nenem and Olam Hazeh, Kol Nenem and Olam Hazeh below Bracha Reza Moal. You know, so that's what a neder is. And that's what a korban, that's Yerushalmi's explanation of Amiraso legavoa, you know, kimisiraso lehejo. So in a sense, you're just going, you know, you're going back to that initial default. You're invoking all of that. So does that really require a hafla? Maybe you could say that a shvua is a commitment. But nothing's really changed. A chovas hagavra. To make it binding, to make the promise binding, you need a bitu, you need a hafla. Right? But a neder, even though the result is more ambitious, right? But what you really do, what you're really doing, you know, is, you know, bringing it back to some sort of pre-matir state. You're invoking, you know, its inner kadshim, if you will, or its inner neder. So maybe that's why amen is kabbalah's dvarim, you know, in the darim. And again, could I have said the opposite? I might have, but we're reconstructing backwards. You know, in brachos, it's either because the cheftza shel bracha or because the way that brachos works, you know, you're being matvis v'chavero. And in shavuos, it's... anyways, what does all this have to do with us? Very simple. Meaning, in the end of the day, if amen really expresses itself in different ways... Right. Just let's take the Gemara in Shavuos again. Amen bo kabbalas dvarim bo amanas dvarim bo shavua. So when we try to figure out whether mipi atzmo is a pure bitui, really, kemotzi shavua mipi, or whether or not it's some sort of a either weaker bitui, weaker mipi atzmo or souped up mipi acherim, surely. You know, the range of bo shvua, bo kabbalistar, and bo hamanasbar, or in the Rambam, you know, looking at hilchos brachos, looking at hilchos nadarim, seeing that amen can be different things, makes you wonder whether even the bo shvua isn't a bo kabbalistar. Let me say it this way. If you want to read nadarim, you know, like the Kesef Mishnah and Radaz Beis Aleph, so maybe, you know, in addition to what Natan said, right? Maybe another way to look at it is that, you know, though it's hard in the Gemara, that Kabbalah's Dvarim isn't so different than Bo Shvua. Right? But then you're pushing it kind of, or you're acknowledging that this is a little bit, you know... Oh. So, having said that, let's go back to not only Rameir and the Chachamim, but the Rambam and the Rimigash. And we're not going to go into the details, I will leave that for next time. But as we already pointed out, if you look very carefully at the Rambam in Perek Tes and in Perek Yud, we'll document it on Som Gedalia, but, you know, it's and the Ravid just didn't get it. The Ravid in both places, in Perek Tes, what is it, Halacha Yud Aleph, and in the end of Perek Yud, basically accuses the Rambam in both places of passing like Rameir. Right? But the Lechem Mishnah points out that the Rambam was bothered by the same thing that Tosis was bothered by, right? Namely, there seems to be contradiction in the Gemaras. And what he's really saying is something very, very subtle. But if you got a chance, did you get a chance to look at the Rimigash? The question is exactly like the Rambam, or the Rimigash is really mistapek. But he's really mistapek. Again, the details, are they exactly like the Rambam? Probably not. But like the Rambam, or the Rambam in the inspired by the Rimigash, but, you know, adapting it in his own way, it sounds like, even if you hold like the Chachamim, there still may be a difference between Mipi Atzmo and Mipi Acherim regarding the role of the Shvua Bebezdin. We'll just leave it at that for the moment. The details we're trying to fill in. They're hard to pin down. Or, particularly, whether or not Amen is different than Mipi Atzmo and more like Mipi Acherim in some respects when it comes to the question of Shvua, Betoch, and Chutz Lebezdin. Right, that's Noveah for the Rimigash on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, and Lamed Aleph with Beis. And it's Noveah for the Pesachim of the Rambam. So, once again, we have rehabilitated this idea. Are we saying that there are two dinim? Or are we talking about the compensation that I was talking about before? Namely, the method of doing the bitui and hafla also depends on Mipiatmo, Mipiacherim, and Anias Amen is somewhere in between. But that, of course, would reinforce this whole reading of the Gemara in Kaf Tesamid Beis, and in light of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, and the right of other Psakim of the Rambam, that Amen, you know, is a very is flexible to its context. Oh, Rambam and the Rebbe Gash think that Amen is flexible even in Shvuas HaEdos to its context. Similarly, again, we'll talk about the details. Similarly, the question of Rabbeinu Tam, as we noted. So I don't want to talk about the details right now, but again, Rabbeinu Tam's question, what is the Rambam's view? The other Rishon, when do you need Shem B'Shvua, when not? So let's talk about that very briefly, not right now, but on the day that we return, on Tzom Gedalia. You know, for the Rambam in Perek Beis, Hilchos Shvuos, in Perek Yud, Hilchos Shvuos, in Perek Gedalia, Hilchos Shvuos, what do you don't need a shame for? You know, what's the view of the Ramban and Lamed Hey and the Ran and the Dharman based on Allah? But again, with the background, the reason we're interested in this right now, we'll speak much more about Shem Hashem when we get to Lamed Hey and Lamed Vav. Shem Hashem in Klolo, Shem Hashem in Shvua, Shem Hashem in all sorts of different things. But for the moment, we're interested because of this unbelievably, you know, intriguing Rabbeinu Tam, right? Who says, Mipiacherim requires Shem Hashem, and Mipiatzmo doesn't. So again, is that two dinim, or is also that compensation? A. B. What is the Ran's objection to Rabbeinu Tam? His makar. What's a makar? Sota. Amen, amen. So the Ran says, the makar is sota? Amen, amen? What's the problem? No? That's mipiatzmo. He could say even more strongly, that's the Gemara's makar for mipiatzmo. Right? Ah. So we need an answer for that. Look at the Netziv in his Parish on the Shulchos. He discusses that, very famous piece. But all, just in light of what we've already said now, which is, you know, how mipiatzmo is the amen of sota? Right? Given Chavtesim Adbeis, given the Rambam and the Rimigash, right? Something you can think about. Okay, so these are things to think about, which we will not just think about, but we'll talk about when we get back. Okay, that is...